Speak anew to us in this meeting. Pray that you would open our hearts and that you would open your word to us. It's really astonishing and good to see how clearly the Lord shows us that the priesthood is the way to the goal. This is according to which God judges, because this is what he wants. God wants to have priests who serve him. And we see this in the book of Malachi. It's about the priesthood, priestly service. And this is really on what is on God's heart, and it's his purpose. And that's why he has saved us. That's why he called his people already at that time. He called them out of Egypt with the purpose to have a people who served him as priests. In Exodus 19, he says, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, if you keep my commandments, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, his own special possession. And then we'll be these jewels for the Lord. And this shows that if we follow the order set by God, then we will be such jewels for him, such a treasure for him. In Revelation 1, we see how he has redeemed us and how he has saved us and released us from sin through the blood. But we see also that he has redeemed us to make us kings and priests. He has redeemed us so that we can be kings and priests. And at the end, we see that this is exactly where he makes the difference, where he discerns. He looks to see if we serve him as priests or not. At least this is the differentiation he makes for the believers. If we have received the Lord, then we have eternal life. And no one can take this eternal life from us because it's eternal. We have eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. We are the children of God, and no one can snatch us out of his hand. That means our salvation through faith and baptism is sure and certain. But the differentiation and discernment he makes is if we serve him as priests or not. And in verse 13 of Malachi 3, he says, your words have been harsh against me. They were not ready to bring him the offerings. And they said, in what way have we robbed you? They didn't even know what the problem was. This is the kind of questions they asked. They had no consciousness of this. They had no sense for what God wanted. And they said, it's useless to serve God. And there's this tendency also today among the people of God. We don't have to do anything anymore. The Lord has done everything. What do I want to still do now? Then it's useless to serve God. I don't have to bring any more offerings. If we speak in such a way, then we do not keep his ordinance. Today, we often hear, we just have to enjoy the Lord, and we should just enjoy what he has already done for us. But the Lord shows us there is also a way for us to walk as mourners. The Lord shows us that in order for us to enter the kingdom, it is a way of labor. We have to wrestle. We have to enter into the kingdom. He didn't say, enjoy me and then you can enter into the kingdom. He says you have to really wrestle for this, to enter into the narrow way. Wrestling is often connected with mourning, because we still have our old nature that has to be dealt with. Sometimes we really have to wrestle like Jacob did with the Lord, to wrestle against his old fallen nature. And this is what the Lord says to us. Yeah, wrestle for this. But if we are like them and say, so now we call the proud blessed, this is really proud to say, let's just take what he has done for us and we'll wait until he comes and we will all be treated the same way and we don't take care of what the Lord really wants. This is really proud and it is lawless. This goes against God's ordinance and it's a warning for us that we should not be like this today. But praise the Lord. As we've heard today, there are also those who fear the Lord and care about his ordinance. And the Lord listens to them and hears them. And for them, the Lord writes a book of remembrance. And this is his desire for all of us in his kingdom today. He wants to write a book of remembrance for all of us. And for them, the Lord has prepared something very special. In verse 17, it says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In German, it says, I will treat them and deal with them as my special treasure. So when the Lord comes back, he will treat us like his special possession and treasure. Will we be those who are there? We have to ask ourselves, what's the goal of our Christian life? Do we want to be this special treasure? Do I want to be a pearl when the Lord comes back, who is found to be so precious in his sight? The Lord has prepared a day, and I will spare them. And I want to look at this again. What is this day that the Lord has prepared? In 2 Peter 3:10, describes this day. What is this day? 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. That shows that the Lord has prepared a day on which he will come, and on this day, the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. This is, and both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. This is the day of which Malachi 3:17 speaks. We read in Malachi 3:2, where the Lord says, who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. And we see the Lord will prepare a day and has prepared a day where there will be strong heat and fire. And concerning those in the book of remembrance and those who actually feared him, he says, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. This is really wonderful. We have to see this today. This day is coming. But on this day, he wants to spare us. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Yeah, we see how important it is to serve the Lord today, that we would be God's sons who serve him. Then he will spare us. The day is very near. We're shortly before this day. We're shortly before the great and terrible day of the Lord. But he, and dreadful day of God's wrath, but he wants to spare us. And exactly on this day, there will a discernment difference will be made. Today, the tendency is to say, well, there is no difference. Everyone who's been saved will be dealt with in the same way by the Lord. It doesn't matter how we live because the Lord won't make a difference. But here, the Lord says, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. You can discuss a lot of things and speak about a lot of things, but this day will reveal between the who is righteous and who is wicked, who serves God and who does not serve God. And today, if we say, well, we don't have to serve God anymore, then this day will make it apparent. It'll make it apparent. But on this day, it'll be too late. That means we have to know today already. And that's why the Lord also shows us this today already. Because the Lord does want to save us from this day. I don't want to be on this earth on that day when the elements melt from fervent heat. I don't want to be on the earth on that day. But the Lord really wants to preserve us, keep us from this day. He wants to spare us. And we see that there are 3.5 years that the Lord has prepared, and the Lord wants to keep us from this time. He doesn't want us to be on the earth during this time. He wants to rapture us before the last 3.5 years, but he can only rapture us if we are precious for him, if we are righteous. Yeah, he won't take any lawless ones with him. Yeah, but he wants to justify us today. We need to have this before our eyes in a clear way. And then verse 18 says, sorry, in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. After these 3.5 years, where the lawlessness will abound and be judged, there will also be the judgment seat of Christ. And on that day, everything will be exposed and revealed. Nowadays, we can hide a lot of things. We can outwardly serve him. We can do so many things. We can deceive others. But there will be a day where everything will be revealed and the day will make it clear. And this is the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says to the Corinthians that there is a judgment seat of Christ. And all of our works will be revealed on that day before the judgment seat of Christ. Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. I don't want to be stubble when the fire comes. You know, stubble on the field when you finish mowing the lawn, for example. Do we want to be like that when the fire comes? And the day which is coming shall burn them up. If we're like stubble, the day will come and burn us up, says the Lord of hosts. But they will leave them neither root nor branch. That means at the end, nothing will remain. At the end, nothing will be left over. Maybe we will have done a lot, but if we live in a lawless way, then at the end, everything will perish and pass away. The Lord is warning us. Because he doesn't want this to happen to us. And this is also what Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3. He warns the Corinthians that there is a difference. among the Christians. 1 Corinthians 3, he's speaking to them, the Corinthians who are all born again. He's speaking to the church in Corinth, starting from verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. So we all have this foundation. And who is this foundation? Jesus Christ is our foundation. And through Paul, the Corinthians came to the Lord. He preached Christ, and then the church came into being, and this was the foundation. And then he didn't say, praise the Lord, and now we will enjoy the church life. What did he say? He said, now. Take heed. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we all have this foundation, but we have to pay attention and take heed to how we build upon this foundation. We have received Christ. But how do I deal with the Christ that I have received? How do I deal with it? How do I go about him? And there Paul told us and warned us, take heed how you build on this foundation. And he says we can build upon Christ. Verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, this shows us if we have received Christ, there are different possibilities about how we can deal with Christ. We can build with gold and silver and precious stones, or we can build with wood, hay, and straw. Gold, silver, and precious stones. These are precious materials. This shows the godly, divine nature. Wood, hay, and straw is earthly and perishes and burns very well. Gold, silver, and precious stones, they are refined and they are not good to be burned and don't burn so easily, and they can withstand the fire. And this is a warning for us. How do we deal with the Christ whom we have received? Do we despise him? Do we take do we stain ourselves the whole day? If so, then we will build with wood, hay, and straw. We in the brother's house, we all have all received Christ. In our family, we have all received Christ. But how do we go about Christ every day? Do we stay in ourselves? If someone looks at me in the wrong way, am I already offended and then I can't have fellowship with that person for hours? Or do I gain divine material? Do I work with the Christ whom I have received? Do I deny myself and gain gold? Do I gain precious stones? Or do I build with my old fallen self? With wood, hay, and straw. Paul warned us that we should take heed to this, not to live according to our flesh, our lusts, to our passions, to not be tossed to and fro by these things, but to learn to crucify the flesh. And Paul warns us concerning how we should build. And then he says in verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And this is the link to Malachi. Who will be written in the book of remembrance? Has he done something precious for God? Then he will be spared. It's exactly the same thing here. If anyone's work endures, the fire will come upon all. When the Lord comes, he's like the sun. The Lord comes like the sun. But the question is, when he comes, can we deal and tolerate this sun? And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And we want to receive the reward. For us today, who are born again, what is it about for us today? The question is, will we receive the reward or not? When the Lord comes, will we be those who have, who are worthy? This is what our whole life should be about, that we would be focused on this alone. When the Lord comes, I want to receive this reward. I want to be spared. I want to be, sorry, not spared, but I want to be found worthy. I want to be a jewel. It's not about our work. It's not about our family. Everything should serve for this, that when the Lord comes, I want to be found worthy. Here, if one's work is burned, he will suffer loss. That means there will be, the Christians can even suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. 1 Corinthians 3:15. This shows that if we have received the Lord, that our salvation is really eternal, even if we are disobedient. We will always be saved. But he will suffer loss. And he will be saved, yet as through fire. And we heard that the Lord wants to refine us. He's the one who sits there and is a refiner. He wants to refine us. And it is so good to let ourselves be refined by the Lord today, to receive the judgment of the Lord today. To say to the Lord, I'm ready to receive your judgment. I'm ready to really leave my old man behind, to crucify it. This is the work that he wants to do in us today. But if the Lord cannot do something in us today, then he has to do it later. And this is the punishment, because this is not a nice thing, because he has to force us. Then he doesn't say, oh, are you ready to leave your soul life? He will send you in a situation where you have to deny your soul life, and it will be done by force. And this is the punishment. And the Lord wants to reward us. And this punishment is the punishment that the Christians will receive in the millennial kingdom, for those who... the millennial kingdom is on the one hand a reward for those Christians who are faithful, but there's also the punishment for the unfaithful Christians. If we're not ready when the Lord comes, then in these 1,000 years where God's kingdom is here on earth, we will be chastened by him. In some of the parables, he says that they will be cut in two, and he will even give us a portion with the unbelievers. And said about the virgins. And concerning the wedding feast, he says to some of the virgins, you have to stay outside. Imagine, he says to the wife, stay outside. The bridegroom says to the bride, stay outside. But the Lord has given us this example, because it'll be like this. The Lord will not say to everyone that you can come in. The Lord will leave some outside the door. And this is the punishment for the Christians. And the Lord really wants to preserve us from this punishment. the great and dreadful day of God's wrath. So let us not be proud. Verse 2 in chapter 4, but to you who fear my name, and we have to really learn to fear his name, to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. Amen. It's really precious. The Son of Righteousness shall arise. When the Lord comes, he will be the Son. And he will arise. Amen. Now we see him in a limited way, but then we will really see him as he is. Yeah, and blessed is the one who will stand the test. The Son of Righteousness shall arise. Yeah, we want to be those who are justified by him and through him, to whom he can give the reward, to whom he says, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be such people. It is good to go to the judgment seat if we know that we will get the reward. And so it shall be for us. Praise the Lord. We're waiting for the Son of Righteousness that will arise so that we can receive the reward. And this reward is the millennial kingdom with the Lord, to reign with the Lord on the earth today. The Son of Righteousness will arise upon the whole earth. Today, there's so much corruption on this earth. But my hope is that I will have this coming kingdom before my eyes. Otherwise, you can really go crazy. If you see what people do on the earth today, if I don't have this kingdom before our eyes, and if we don't see that the Lord is coming to judge in righteousness and peace on this earth, if I don't have this before my eyes, then I would really suffer. But it is so good to turn my view upon this time and to say, I want to be there. It would be really bad if I could not be there. Then I would have no hope at all. But our hope exists in our being able to stand with him in that day, and that the Lord is coming. It is so wonderful to fear his name today already. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. There's so much healing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So much healing, so much righteousness. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. This is really precious. Sometimes I feel like I'm so chained, I'm so limited by my body, but when the Lord comes, it's like these calves that have long been chained, and when you let go of the chain and you open the door, then they jump out. We have to go to the grass and eat green grass and enjoy the sun. And when I've seen these calves jump out, and they really jump up and down with all fours. And it'll be like this when the Lord comes for us. We have to really treasure this and have this before our eyes. And if this is before our eyes, then we can really go through all sufferings. Of course, chastening is a suffering. To leave our soul life is suffering. To crucify the flesh. But praise the Lord, we have to see what has been prepared for us. I want to be like this stall-fed calf that jumps up and down when the Lord comes. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. You know, the Lord will prepare an extra day, and there the wicked will be judged. And we should long for this day. Our hands are bound. Sometimes we have to just watch as the lawlessness continues. And I say, what can I do? I can't do anything. But we have to see the Lord has prepared a day. It won't go like this endlessly. The Lord will bring a day where he will judge the wicked. And this is also a great hope. And then he says, you shall trample the wicked. This is our right, our portion, if we let ourselves be judged by the Lord today. If his righteousness becomes our righteousness and his life our life, then the reward that we will receive is to trample the wicked. This earth does not belong to the lawless. It belongs to the Lord. It belongs to us. And we can really conquer this land for the Lord. And we can really trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. I'm really looking forward to this. I want to experience this. I want to experience how we will, how the wicked will be ashes under the soles of my feet. This is what the Lord of hosts says. Do we want this? We want this. Amen. There's no question about it. Let's read Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Psalm 149, verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. This honor have all his saints. Thank you, Lord, for such a honor. Amen. All his saints. Amen. Yeah, we have to really enjoy this. I can encourage you to just read this very often, to have this before your eyes. This is our goal. This should always be before our eyes. And then we wouldn't complain so much, because we know that the day will come. It's always good to see the end, or how things will end. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we have the end before our eyes and in view. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, Malachi 4:4. Yeah, here we see how important the priesthood is and how important the offerings are. We remember the law of Moses. Many people say the offerings aren't important anymore, but Malachi reminds us of this. Remember the law of Moses. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. There are statutes and there are also judgments. Praise the Lord. We see the ordinances of the Lord. We see what he wants from us. And we see that the statutes and the judgments he wants to give us, and we should follow them. And verse 6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. The Lord really wants to save us. He wants to save us from being struck with a curse.